This is a recording of Providence Road Church of Christ in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Are you ready to open a gift?
Yep.
Go for it. Was that on your list?
No.
That is an air pillow insole for your shoe. I heard that's an eye toilet seat. Does that make it any better?
No.
Is that a good gift for a kid?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you just being polite?
I'm just being polite.
That's not a very good gift, is it?
No.
Okay, well, would you like a real gift?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you dig it?
Maverick!
It's a beaver!
What is it?
A Lego!
Really big, yeah!
Gosh, that's huge!
That's the Zuba that was on my list!
What do you think?
Good gift.
And the scripture says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, anybody remember what the angel said? Do not be afraid. Let's read it together. I bring you, wow, we're too much turkey. Let's try it one more time. When we get to the good news, I want you to think that you're the guy that gets to deliver the publisher's clearinghouse check. You're the gal that gets to go to someone and say, you won the lottery. You're the one that gets to make the phone call to say, you've been chosen, you've been promoted, you've been elected. Whatever it is, this is good news. So let's try it again, angels. Do not be afraid. I bring you of great joy that will be for all the people. I want to start with a very simple gift-giving tip. And to give it, I need to ask one more question. How many of you have ever purchased a gift that was so good you kept it? Now, come on. Don't look at me like, oh, I would never do that. Maybe it was a cool gadget or a thing that you'd really wanted. Sometimes, you know, we buy things that we want and we give it to people close to us knowing they'll let us use it. Can I get a mm-hmm on what I'm talking about here? Why did you get me that? Oh, let me show you, honey, how cool it is. This remote will control all of our television and the video and the DVR. Yeah. Well, I want to now tell you a little secret. If you've ever bought a gift and then you didn't give it, it wasn't a gift. It isn't a gift unless you give it. Tip number one is, you want to give a good gift this Christmas, the really good gift? Well, it isn't a gift unless you give it. You see, if you don't give it, it just ain't a gift. This morning, I want to walk you back to a moment when someone gave a great gift. But as I walk you through it, I want you to be answering in your own heart this question. When's the last time you gave somebody the good gift? When's the last time you shared with somebody the greatest gift of all, and that is the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ? This season, God just kind of throws us a softball. People will be walking up and saying, Merry Christmas. They'll be talking about the birth of Christ. They'll be putting it on cards. You'll get cards from people who don't believe in Jesus that will have his name emblazoned on the front of it. You'll receive greetings from people that will show an infant and a mother in a manger. Undeniably, it is the Christ, but it's from people who have never let Jesus give them the gift of life. Neighbors will invite you to parties, and you will, if you open your circle, you will get together with folks who will be celebrating Christmas who have never opened the gift God gave them. And praise God, you and I have the opportunity to give the gift. But remember, it's not a gift. Anybody know the rest of it? Unless you give it. Open your Bibles up to the book of Acts. And we're going to look this morning at the third chapter of the story of Acts. The The third chapter of Acts begins this way. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3:00 p.m. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried in to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. All right, hold up a second and let's see if we can get into the scene. Let's not just drive by like a drive-by manger scene. Oh, there's Jesus. Let's stop and actually walk up close, shall we? First off, what do we know about this fellow? Very little, except these facts. The scripture says that he was crippled from birth. Now, in a day and age, long before the ADA, long before the Americans with Disabilities Act, long before anybody was thinking about wheelchair ramps and about equal access, the word cripple equaled a couple of things. It equaled poor. It sometimes would equal outcast or even cursed. Because there's writings of that day in which the Jews would argue who sinned, this man or his father or his grandfather, that he was struck with this disease. Now remember, it says cripple from birth. So it wasn't something that the man had done. It wasn't that he'd injured himself. From the day he was born, everyone was quietly asking this question. Who did something wrong that he ended up this way? Because of that, a crippled child was cared for by your family. But once you become a crippled adult, if your family is no longer caring for you, then you become one of those people. Leaving them all the other day, we pulled up to the stoplight, and I was right there by the, this one happened to say, I think, a military veteran, anything will help sign. He looked hale and hearty to me. Can you hear me be judgmental there? Why doesn't he have a job? And he stood right there, 10 inches from my window. And I looked over and smiled at him, and he said, "Hey, buddy," and held out his hand. I patted my pocket, literally did not have a thing in my pocket. He said, "Even a dime or nickel will help." I said, I'm sorry, I don't have anything. He said, "Well, God bless you." Oh. And the light changed. And I drove on. What kind of thoughts happen to you when you have one of those moments where somebody says, "Hey, can you help?" And maybe you can and maybe you can't. Maybe you choose to and maybe you don't. Maybe it's one of those days where you're so frustrated you think, "Why don't the mall police get out here and get this guy or this gal out of here?" Or maybe it's one of those moments where you do. You say, "Tell you what, sure, absolutely." And here, and my wife, she's just a saint when it comes to this. She has, I can remember times we pulled through McDonald's to get a bite to eat, have a bag of food. As we're going out, we're running to somebody, and I know we're making another trip to McDonald's because that bag just went out the window. But there's some little part, I think, of us as human beings that when we see that kind of thing, when we see somebody saying, "Hey, will you give to me?" There's something in us that says, "Well, you know, why is this being put in front of me?" How long had this man seen that face every day? And by the way, you want some irony? He laid at the gate called Beautiful. That would not describe his life. The scripture does not suggest that it's his family that brings him to the gate. There were those who their act of kindness would be to get a cripple who had no family, which is what the text suggests. This guy had nobody to care for him. Otherwise, Jewish law would have said your parents ought to care for you or kids ought to care for you. So it seemed he was absolutely on his own, laying at the gate. And there's a movie title that comes to mind, As Good As It Gets. Because that's what this guy's life was. This is it. Every day to beg. So when he sees Peter and John, he does what he always does. Alms for the poor. Money for a crippled man. Continue reading. Peter looked straight at him. as did John. Now, it's interesting that the text notes that Peter looked straight at him. I don't know about you, but I find myself sometimes averting my eyes from somebody who's trying to hit me up. But Peter looks right at him, as did John. And Peter said, "Hey, look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. It seems the guy was doing this. "Hey, give me some money. Hey, give me some money. Hey, what about you?" As the people are coming in through the beautiful gate, he's just trying to snag anybody. Like, you know, some of those folks that have the jobs of giving out the credit cards at the airport. "Hey, sir, excuse me, ma'am. Hey, listen, would love to sign you up for this." So he's doing his salesman's pitch, trying to grab him. And he must have just mentioned Peter and John. "Hey, what about you? Hey, what about you?" And Peter and John said, wait, come back here. Come back here. So boy, he comes right back. "Oh, I got a live one here. Yes, sir, thank you so much. Whatever you've got, any bit of silver, any bit of gold." And Peter says this, "Silver or gold?" What? "Sorry, buddy, fresh out." At which point this guy must have thought, "Oh, great. Excuse me, what about you?" But Peter says, "But what I..." Everybody read this. "What I..." One more time. "What I..." Peter says, "I can give you something. Now, what I can't do is I can't dig in my pocket and give you silver or gold. Don't happen to have any, but I tell you what, let me give you something you didn't ask for." Hang on to this thought. This man did not say, "Please heal me. Excuse me, could you heal me? Could you heal me? Could you heal me?" The man just, well, this is as good as it gets. He'd given up hope of it getting any better. This is the way it's always going to be. Is that you? Have you got to a place in life where you've kind of like, "Well, this is as good as it gets. I know my marriage is..." Well, really, it's just a shadow. It's just a charade. "I know I've got this secret addiction and it's tearing me up, but I mean, this is just as good as it gets. I know I'm in a dead-end job and I feel like I'm adding nothing to this world and my dreams have vanished and my kids and I are at odds or my parents and I are at odds. You know what? I've got this secret burden on my back, but this is just as good as it gets. So if you give me $5 and shut up and move along, how about that?" Satan loves to whisper that line. "It's not going to get any better. So you better just accept what you got. And I don't care whether the house is really large or the apartment is really small. You can be miserable and wealthy or poor." Can I get an "oh yeah"? If you don't think so, just pick up one of those magazines at the store. You know, right when you go through the checkout counter. And read about how happy all the celebrities are all the time. It's as good as it gets. And Peter says, "I can't give you five, but I can give you something you didn't ask for." Y'all remember the rest of this story? The scripture says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." If there was ever a word this man did not expect to hear, walk was it. It was a verb he had removed from his vocabulary and erased from his mind when it came to him being the subject of the sentence, "I will walk. I will crawl. I will get carried. I might roll over, but I have not ever," hear this word, "ever walked." Wow. You talk about a good gift. And taking him, I love this picture. He doesn't just say, "Get up and walk," but he reaches down and takes him by the right hand. And for the first time in his life, helps him up. Now, occasionally we'll do little biblical plays. Who wouldn't want to be Peter in this scene? Because you get to give somebody the best gift ever. Almost. Because what Peter gave him was a few years of joy. Nothing wrong with that. But what Peter really wanted to give him was an eternity of joy. Now that is a good gift. But remember tip number one? It isn't a good gift unless what? Unless you give it. I want to take this moment of Peter and this man and ask this question. Why did they do it? What motivated him to stop and care about this guy? They could have just walked on by. They could have just said, sorry, buddy, don't have anything for you. Or maybe John would have said, here, I've got a drachma. Let's just give him this. They could have just said, hey, the Lord bless you and hope things get better. But Peter stops and says, I just can't walk by. I've got to do something. In fact, the man, as I already said, had already gone on to others. Peter was off the hook. Peter had to say, hey, look at us. Wait a minute. Come back here. He'd already walked down the line of cars, right? And Peter was parked up front. He had to roll down his window and say, wait a minute, buddy, come back up here. I've got something for you. You know what I believe? I believe that Peter gave that gift because it had already been given to him. You say, wait a minute, Peter wasn't lame. No, he wasn't lame. Well, yeah, he was kind of lame, actually, if you look at his life. But Peter wasn't lame in the sense that this man was. Peter was a cursing, frustrated Jewish man. He was a guy who didn't seem to do very well at his occupation and was struggling with his life. And Jesus came along and gave him a gift. Only, Jesus had a helper. Open up your Bibles for a second to the book of John this time. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. Anybody know how Peter became a disciple? We often think of the call that Jesus gave to him, but the call that Jesus gave to him was coupled with this note from John chapter 1 and beginning about verse 40. Andrew, Simon's Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. Then the scripture gives this sentence. The first thing Andrew did was to do what? Find his brother Simon, that's Peter, and tell him. Let's read it together. We have found the one, the promised one, the Savior, that is Christ. And then what did he do? And he... Peter knew what it was like to have somebody say, can I give you what I've got? Can I share with you what I've found? Can I give you the good stuff? So what's holding you back? You know, this is a season of the year when people, as I've said before, are so open to hearing about Jesus. In fact, last week, if you picked one of them up, and I picked one up, see if I stuck it in my Bible here, and picked up this morning, we printed up some invitations and are out there, thanks to Gary Hickson, who does a lot of our graphic design for us. As a gift, thank you for that. We have cards for this series called The Good Gift, and the cards have the date of the sermon series and the way to get to the church and a little invite. And there's enough there for about everybody who's here today to grab one of these and give it to somebody. What keeps you from inviting someone? From reaching out and saying, you know, here, I'd like you to come and hear about a really good gift. Peter was motivated, I believe, because he knew how good the gift was. I was in Chicago earlier this year, and there was the world's biggest, what's the dolls that are your buddy? And they got all kinds of different styles of them. American Girl, the world's largest American Girl store. And the guys are sitting out there, what? Yeah, I know. The world's largest American Girl store is in Chicago. 3 floors. You can eat with your little doll in the restaurant. They have little seats where the dolls can eat with you, and they bring the dolls plastic food. If you go into the restroom, there's a place where you can hang your doll up on the wall, no place for her to wait for you while you're in the restroom, and then you get the doll and go back out. There was even that in the men's restroom, which I thought, wow, that's really strange. But here is this whole thing, and Catherine said, oh my goodness, Shelley, my friend, I got to get some pictures. I want to go in there. I'm like, you know, you go ahead. Let me just kind of look around here a little bit. Well, just across the street is the Hershey's store. Yeah. An entire store dedicated to the love of chocolate. They had every kind of chocolate and every dark and light and milk and crunchy and almond and peanut and cashews. Can I get an amen? I mean, I'm sorry, but that's my weakness. And so I went in, and at the door, they give away chocolate. They give away chocolate. Why is anyone in the American Girl store, you can't buy a bow for less than $50, but they're giving away chocolate. Now, the gal giving away the chocolate had this huge basket. And as people are coming through the door, it was her joy to just give it away. But as I came through the door and she said, "Welcome to Hershey's." And I looked at her and looked at this basket of chocolate. And I said, "Thank you." I said, "You do this all day long, don't you?" She said, "I sure do. Welcome to Hershey's. Welcome to Hershey's. Welcome to Hershey's." I stepped away and I watched her as I ate my chocolate. And I thought, well, you know, they're giving them away. So I walked back up. "Welcome to Hershey's." I already had one. "That's okay." "Oh, all right." So I stepped over, and while I ate the second one, I looked at, not a smile. I mean, you know, absolutely the poorest customer service you could ever think. So I walked up and I said, "You know, this chocolate is delicious." She said, "Really?" I said, "What do you mean?" "I hate chocolate." "What?" "I hate it. I've never liked chocolate. Want another one?" "Yeah. Why do you have this job?" "Why does anybody have a job? Welcome to Hershey's. Welcome to Hershey's. Welcome to..." She's handing this chocolate. I thought, what a miserable thing for somebody who hates chocolate to have to give it out all day long. But then again, I thought, well, what if it was somebody who really liked chocolate? That could be a temptation. That could be a difficulty. You could go home with your pockets like this, right? Wasn't too many in the store today, you know? There's a temptation, I think, for Christians to do one of two things. Maybe you're here sitting in this building and you're really not excited about Christianity. I mean, let's be honest. It's just your religion. It's where my mom and dad always brought me, and so I'm here. Here, welcome to church. Welcome to church. Glad you're here. Maybe that's it. Maybe you haven't ever tasted. I love Peter's language in this. Peter says this. He says, you should taste and know that the Lord is good. Don't you love that line? In fact, take a look at the text. I think the text is going to be up here on your screen. Peter puts it this way. He says, like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. 1 Peter 2, verses 2 and 3. Now here's the deal, folks. If I taste and I know how good the Lord is, better than chocolate, better than your favorite food, better than your greatest vacation, better than your most wonderful enjoyment, better than your favorite hobby, there is nothing to compare with the joy that comes from knowing that no matter what happens to me, no matter who does what to me, no matter what disease or difficulty or frustration I face, Jesus has promised me that He will see me through and that I will live with Him forever. Amen? Now that's the gift we call salvation. That no matter what I've done, I don't have to go around with a big black bag around my neck feeling rotten because of things I did 2 years ago or 20 years ago because of Jesus Christ. Amen? When I realize that He has given me life and a purpose and hope, and when I get past all of the junk and I see that not only has He done that, but He says, here, I'll give you more than you can eat. I'll give you a bucket so big, and what I want you to do is just what? Take your time on this one. Is what? Give it away, because it's not a gift unless you give it. So here's your challenge. You want to give a really good gift this season? Well, decide first off that the gospel is a really good thing. Amen. It'll bless your marriage. If you're here today and you're not a believer, let me let you know, it'll bless your marriage. It'll bless you at work. It will make you a better dad, a better wife. It'll make you a better person. If you're single, it will make your daily walk better. Jesus makes everything better. And not just here, but forever. It will give you the ability to face difficulties with courage. It will give you the ability to face problems with faith. It's good stuff. It's a good gift. And it's our prayer that you would say even today, I want the gift. Because it's free to you. But if you've already received the gift, how many Christians do we have here? How many baptized believers? If you won't own up in here, you're toast out there. All right, good deal. So all those of you just said, yeah, I'm a baptized believer. I'm a member of the family of God. Then here's what Paul says. Go to this text, if you would. Philippians chapter 2. Here's what Paul says your and my role in the process is. Do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. And here's your line. You read it. As you... There you are standing at the door. It's free. Take two. It's so good. Come try it. I got two words for you this December. Next Sunday is first Sunday of December. We get 4 weeks. One of them's Christmas. Invest and invite. Now, I know invest is not a really happy word right now with the market, all the fluctuations. So I'd like you to invest in something that is never a loser. Invest in people around you. Share a word of encouragement. Pat somebody on the back. Give somebody just a moment of your time to let them know, man, I appreciate you. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? And then give them an invitation. An invitation to come hear the story of Jesus. Next week and all through December, every Sunday, we're going to do our best to share Christ in such a way that folks will say, man, that's a really good gift. I'd like that. Maybe you feel like, oh man, I couldn't answer all their questions. Okay, then here's what you do. You just invest and invite. Maybe you'll invite them to your life group. Maybe that'll be a place. Maybe you'll invite them right here. Maybe you'll invite them on December 11th to the Christmas Journey, which is a musical, dramatic presentation. Maybe Sunday morning wasn't a place you feel like, man, I couldn't get them out on Sunday at 8:30 or even at the 11 o'clock service. All right, how about this? On the 11th, we're having that evening. Or maybe on Christmas Eve to the Christmas Eve service. At every one of our services in the month of December, we're going to make sure that we do our best, God's Spirit working through us, to share the good gift. That's what we can do. I can preach it, but I can't invite your friends because I don't know them. And it isn't a gift unless you give it. Maybe you just need to start with a name. Who could you invite this December to come hear about the good news of Jesus? Now, if you're a guest here today, you're thinking, man, wow, these guys are really like, they're focused on this. You got it. Because we don't want to go home to heaven with a big bucket of ungiven away chocolate. Can I get a oh yeah? There will be no joy in getting there with a big bucket of chocolate we can't eat. Instead, it is our blessing to give away the greatest thing in the world. And that is the news that God so loved you that He gave His Son for you so that you could have life. You got that name of that person you might invite this month? Do they work with you? Live on your block? You've seen them, talked to them, Merry Christmas them? It's time. Bow your head, will you please? Father, I just ask that you give us the spirit of Peter today, who understood that the gift that he'd been given those years before he wanted to keep giving it away. God, the good news is far too good for us to keep quiet. So, Lord, will you give us the courage to invest and to invite, to share the gift, to hold it out. And Lord, I pray that when we do that, just like the lame man who began to jump and praise and everyone was filled with wonder and amazement, people will see and they'll say, "Where did you get that?" And then they can point them to Jesus. Father, I pray this morning for those who are here who have never accepted the gift of salvation, the gift of God's grace. Lord, I pray that even today they'd be the ones to come and say, "I want to give my life to Christ." I pray that in Jesus' holy name, and all that agree say, Amen. This morning, there is a gift, and it has been given by the Father for you. This morning, it is held out to you. But it's not your gift until you take it. If you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, or if you have and you're just wrestling with hurts, we'd love to pray for you, encourage you, and certainly love to share the gift of salvation with you. If you've never been baptized into Jesus Christ, this front row is open for you. And while we stand and sing together, if you're in need, this is your moment to receive the gift. Won't you come? Won't you come right now?